Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, January 29th, 2020. We will begin today's reading with an article entitled Super Impactful: Normal West Students Beat Candidates in Caucus Ready Iowa. Haley McGuire headed to Iowa, excited to meet Pete Buttigieg, but left wearing an Elizabeth Warren shirt. Jolie Pressburger had no idea who would receive her first ever vote when she left Normal, but by Sunday, her mind was made up. Even if we didn't meet any candidates, that would have been one of the most worthwhile things I've done in high school, because just talking to all those people was amazing, said senior Lily Rittinger. 14 students from Normal Community West High School spent last weekend in the Des Moines, Iowa area meeting 2020 presidential candidates, discussing social issues with fellow students and learning what it means to caucus on the campaign trail. It's exciting for the kids to be that close to the campaign, said Deanna Wist, a West Social Studies teacher who made the trip with the students. Most of the time, they're only going to see them on TV, but this way they get to know them in the same way the people of Iowa do. The West students tagged along with students from the Mikvah Challenge, an organization that encourages teens to speak up and participate politically. They met Warren, Buttigieg, and Joe Biden, and some students spent time phone banking for candidates. "I feel like it's very important to be very politically active, just because it's like such a big part of everyone's lives, and it determines what my future is going to be like as a young American," said senior McKenna Gravel, who made calls for Buttigieg. The students from Normal also participated in a mock caucus, joining kids from the Chicago area and across the country to decide on which issues were most important to them instead of which candidate earned their vote. Pressburger, a senior, spoke up for climate change and made a planet Earth dress with one side, like a happy Earth, and then the back was a burning Earth, for a winning skit that followed the caucus. Other students focused on gun control, education, and political corruption. "I felt like it was easier to have that conversation, slash sometimes an argument, with a kid my age, because I never would have said those things to a teacher," Rittinger said, since teachers and chaperones were not allowed in the caucus. Tracy Freeman, the Normal West teacher who spearheaded the trip, said allowing the students to lead helped them all find the issues they cared about, connect with other students, and have some pretty deep conversations. Several students echoed the impact of hearing from different perspectives. "I thought it was really cool because everyone here, we have pretty similar backgrounds. So I thought it was super impactful hearing the different people talking, especially from the South Side, hearing people talking specifically about how it had affected their lives," said Rittinger, who chose gun control as her main issue. "Spreading out into the caucus forced the students to meet new people, so we didn't just like fall on our peers," said junior Brianna Croft. "We had to stand for what we believed in, and I really enjoyed that, because it like made me think more and not rely on other people as much." Although no Republican candidates are preparing for the Iowa caucus, students who don't identify as Democrats said they were still glad to see the process up close. "I went willingly and with an open mind, and even though I didn't agree with some of the things that they said, I still had an amazing time, just like seeing their side and why they choose to support these policies compared to the other side," Croft said. City engineer to head Public Works. Karsh named Special Projects Manager. A change at the Bloomington Public Works Department will bring not only a new director, but potentially save some money. City Manager Tim Gleason announced Tuesday that Kevin Coffey will become Public Works Director effective Sunday. Coffey is City Engineer, a position he has held since 2009. Public Works Director Jim Karsh will move to the new position of Special Projects Manager, also effective on Sunday, reporting directly to Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus. In his new role, Coffey will make $144,745, an increase from $120,762. Karsh's salary will move from $115,000 from $144,745. Coffey, who has been with the city for 32 years, had considered retirement and would have been eligible for sick leave buyback. His continued employment means the city will not pay out that money. Kevin is the perfect fit for this role and will provide the leadership needed to address existing and future challenges and opportunities, Gleason said in an emailed statement. Karsh's new responsibilities could include completing work related to water agreements that were part of previous annexation agreements, parking, an engineering component on projects to be reviewed for community and economic development, and just anything that might rise to that level that somebody like Jim Karsh, with his expertise and knowledge, can perform for the city, Gleason said. I look forward to this role and all of the opportunities it will bring, said Coffey. It is certainly an honor to have been selected for this new role going forward. Gleason told the Pantograph that the change was his decision. The move repurposes a position that was one of the sick leave buyback retirements that was coming up, said Gleason. But you also have all of the other sick leave buyback retirements that we're repurposing and saving money there. I don't have an exact dollar amount, but I don't want to mislead and say that we're saving money because of these two positions only. The city will end the benefit after April 2020 for classified non-union employees and in labor contracts negotiated with several groups of employees represented by unions. The city previously eliminated the benefit for employees hired after May 1, 2012. Karsh joined the city in 2000 and became Public Works Director in 2009. Coffey joined the city in 1988. The current structure allows sick leave payouts over the final 3 months of employment, which can spike the rate at which pensions are calculated. In some cases, that increase requires the city to make accelerated payments to the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund to cover pension costs. Employees who wanted to retire under the current structure had to give notice by October 31, 2019, and retire by April 30, 2020. Mayor Terry Renner said he was glad to see the city be able to retain the expertise and experience of both employees. I do have total confidence in Kevin, who was going to retire after 32 years with the city. I think this is a great save for the city to keep him with us, said Renner. I also have confidence that Jim Karsh will be able to perform the myriad of tasks that are going to be assigned to him in this new position. Coffey will be officially recognized as Public Works Director at the City Council meeting at 6 p.m. on February 10th, at City Hall. Crime Stoppers, man wanted for aggravated DUI. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who is wanted for felony charges. Timothy B. Collins, 58, is 5 feet 11 inches tall and weighs 185 pounds. He has blonde hair and blue eyes. His last known address is in Bloomington, Illinois. Collins is wanted for aggravated DUI. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. To report this or any other crime to Crime Stoppers, you can call them at 309-828-1111. Delavan Center to Triple Workforce. The Cannabis Cultivation Center in the Tazewell County city of Delavan is planning to nearly triple its number of employees by the end of 2022 because of state approval of adult-use recreational cannabis and growth of medical cannabis. Revolution Global, which has 112 employees in Delavan, will add 50 employees after a second 70,000-square-foot pharmaceutical-grade manufacturing facility is completed by June 1st, CEO Mark DeSouza said on Tuesday. The total number of employees will grow to 300 when 600,000 square feet of greenhouses are completed by the end of 2022, DeSouza said. DeSouza spoke with the Pantograph prior to a Tuesday night town hall meeting at Delavan American Legion Post 382, where Revolution's expansion plans were discussed. More than 100 people attended. For any community, especially for a small community, that's a big deal, Delavan Mayor Liz Skinner said of the expansion plans. It's an exciting time for the town. DeSouza said he had absolute excitement about our continued partnership with the community of Delavan. We're going to continue to be good partners to bring in more revenue to the community, he said. Revolution has a 75,000-square-foot pharmaceutical-grade manufacturing facility where cannabis grown indoors on the property is processed into food products and cigarettes and packaged. Revolution will be expanding on its existing 80-acre footprint, DeSouza said. The entire property was annexed into Delavan following hearings several years ago, so the city has no action to take regarding the expansion plans, Skinner said. Skinner said Revolution's neighboring property owners have not complained about lighting spilling over onto their property, a concern raised as the McLean County Zoning Board of Appeals was debating cannabis business regulations this month. There have been no complaints whatsoever, Skinner said. It's an opportunity to improve infrastructure, to provide growth to existing businesses, and to entice new businesses to Delavan, Skinner said. Revolution opened several years ago after cannabis for medical use was approved in Illinois. Adults in Illinois have been allowed to buy and use cannabis for recreation since January 1st. Revolution was approved by the state in November to grow cannabis for adult recreational use. But DeSouza said the expansion isn't just because of the approval of adult-use recreational cannabis. We've also seen continued growth of the medical program as more patients have been approved for medical cannabis, he said. DeSouza said Revolution is not looking to become a cannabis retailer in Delavan. We are a manufacturer, he said. Today's Flick Fact. Question. Was Bloomington's David Davis, whose home is a local historical shrine, ever close to becoming President of the United States? Answer, very close. In 1881, David Davis was President pro tem of the U.S. Senate when President James Garfield was assassinated and Vice President Chester A. Arthur became President. Had anything happened to Arthur, who was sickly and died in 1886, Davis would have become president. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, January 29th, and it's the 29th day of 2020. There are 337 days left in this year. Today's highlight, on January 29th, 2002, in his first State of the Union address, President George W. Bush said terrorists were still threatening America, and he warned of an axis of evil consisting of North Korea, Iran, and Iraq. On this date in 1820, King George III died at Windsor Castle at age 81. He was succeeded by his son, who became King George IV. In 1856, Britain's Queen Victoria introduced the Victoria Cross to reward military acts of valor during the Crimean War. In 1861, Kansas became the 34th state of the Union. In 1936, the first inductees of baseball's Hall of Fame, including Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth, were named in Cooperstown, New York. In 1963, the first charter members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame were named in Canton, Ohio. They were enshrined when the hall opened in September 1963. Poet Robert Frost died in Boston at age 88. In 1975, a bomb exploded inside the U.S. State Department in Washington, causing considerable damage but injuring no one. The radical group Weather Underground claimed responsibility. In 1979, President Jimmy Carter formally welcomed Chinese Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping to the White House following the establishment of diplomatic relationships. And a thought for today from Hesketh Pearson, a British biographer who lived from 1887 to 1964. Misquotations are the only quotations that are never misquoted. And from the pages of the Pantograph, How Time Flies Locally, 100 years ago on January 29, 1920, Bloomington's oldest grocery store has sold out to a chain. The Evans Grocery Store at Main and Monroe has been in the same family since 1858, starting on the square. The new owner is Charles Schneider, who owns a chain of grocery stores and meat markets in town. 75 years ago, on January 29, 1945, the Selective Service is asking war production employees to report absentee workers right away. Its goal is to find out who is shirking his duty and hiding in a war production job. Men who hold those jobs but aren't showing up for work could be drafted. 50 years ago, on January 29, 1970, Fred McDavid resigned as Bloomington School Superintendent effective July 31st. He has been District 87's top man since 1966, when he succeeded longtime Superintendent George N. Wells. McDavid plans to enter a postdoctoral program at SIU Carbondale. And 25 years ago today, on January 29, 1995, State Farm historian Dan Barringer did some research and came up with the story of Henry Stubblefield. Stubblefield was driving a Hudson in 1923, and when he signed on with George Murchill for insurance, he became State Farm's first policyholder. And here's the public safety report. Cocaine. Drug charges are pending against a normal man. Tyler L. Thorpe, 25, of the 1000 block of Cheryl Lane, is charged with unlawful delivery of less than 1 gram of cocaine in connection with a transaction that allegedly occurred Monday in Normal. He was released on a $50,000 personal recognizance bond. Aggravated battery. A Tawanda man faces battery charges in McLean County. Tyler A. Guy, 23, is charged with aggravated battery. He allegedly punched a private security officer in the face Saturday in Normal. He is also charged with misdemeanor battery involving a different victim, who he allegedly kicked in the abdomen also on Saturday in Normal. Guy was jailed in lieu of posting $1,035. And the area calendar for tomorrow, which is Thursday, registration for the Un-Valentine's Day party, which will be held at from 5:30 to 8 p.m. on February 13th at Normal Public Library. Registration is required, and you can contact them at normalpl.org. There will also be a book signing at 6:30 p.m. Thursday at the First United Methodist Church in Normal. The topic is Raising the Challenging Child. State dance finals to include three area teams. Eureka, Fieldcrest, and Clinton High Schools will represent the Pantograph area in the Illinois High School Association Competitive Dance State Finals beginning Friday at Grossinger Motors Arena. All three area teams will compete in the Class 1A division after advancing from sectional competition last weekend. Clinton was second in the Effingham St. Anthony sectional with an 89.77 total. Eureka took fourth with 79.4 and Fieldcrest sixth with 77.7 at the Normal Community Sectional. Of the 258 competitive dance teams in Illinois, the top 90 will compete Friday and Saturday. The top six qualifiers in Class 1A, 2A, and 3A advanced from five sectionals. Class 1A and 2A preliminary performances will begin at 10:15 a.m. Friday, followed by 3A prelims at 4:15 p.m. The doors open to Grossinger Motors Arena on Saturday at 10 a.m., with 1A and 2A team finals beginning at 11 a.m. and 3A team finals starting at 2 p.m. There also will be a performance at 3:15 p.m. Saturday by the Special Olympics Illinois Unified Teams. Tickets are $10 per day for general seating and can be purchased in advance by contacting the Grossinger Motors Arena ticket office at 309-434-2679. General seating will also be available at the door. More than 9,000 people are expected to travel to Bloomington Normal for the 8th annual event, with an estimated direct economic impact of $737,500. Bloomington's 5-day forecast today will be cloudy Wind will be 6 to 12 miles per hour, and the high temperature will be 34 degrees. Tonight, low clouds, with wind 4 to 8 miles per hour, and a low of 23 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, will be cloudy. Wind will be 3 to 6 miles per hour, and the temperatures will range between 34 and 26 degrees. Friday, some sun, yay, and then clouds. The wind will be 6 to 12 miles per hour, and the temperatures can be expected a high of 38 degrees and a low of 29 degrees. Saturday, sunshine again and patchy clouds. The wind will be from 9 to 16 miles per hour. The high temperature is expected to be 39 degrees and the low 29 degrees. And Sunday, yay, mostly sunny. The wind is expected to be from 10 to 20 miles per hour and the high temperature will be 47 degrees and the low will be 37 degrees. Girls World Expo in partnership with Pantograph Media. Honor an exceptional girl. Nominate her for a Girl of Merit Award, which will be presented at the Girls World Expo on Sunday, March 8th from noon to 4 p.m. You can nominate someone by email at bit.ly/BLMGOM. Uptown Normal Valentine's Day Giveaway. 'Tis the season of love, and you could win a very special Valentine's Day package from the merchants of Uptown Normal. Celebrate this special day with Uptown for your chance to win a fantastic prize package valued at $500. You can enter from now through January 31st at pantograph.com/contests. Must be 21 or over to enter. From Broadway to Bloomington, Saturday, February 15th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, February 16th at 2 p.m. Tickets are $30, and this event will be at the Holiday Inn Bloomington Normal, formerly the Radisson. Enjoy your favorite spectacular stars singing some of your favorite Broadway tunes. You'll enjoy a cabaret-style performance at the beautiful Holiday Inn Bloomington Normal. Wine, beer, and light refreshments will be available. To purchase your tickets or for more information, visit pantograph.com/Broadway or call 309-820-3297. Brandt is offering the Bloomington Normal Area Job Fair tomorrow, January 30th, from 3:30 to 7 p.m. at 19500 North 1425 East Road in Hudson, Illinois. Welders, assemblers, painters, and more. You've earned your stripes, come and get them. We have plenty of positions available, and there's one for you. Take your place in a strong, stable company with a reputation for delivering superior products and services. At Brandt, you'll get the challenges that you've been looking for, and your hard work will be rewarded. Join the team of experts and see for yourself how far you can go. You can visit BrandtJobs.com for a full list of opportunities. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for January 29th, 2020. Please stay tuned.